I hope you've been doing okay. I must admit that I had a bit of a disturbed sleep last night. And the reason was because I had this weird dream that there was this alien-type creature, a bit like a snake, which was flipping and flopping around in the children's bedroom. And so I feel like I spent most of last night just trying to find this creature and to get rid of it. But I had difficulty. Now, it's interesting when we think about dreams and human psychology, because a lot of the things that we dream about, they are a product of the anxieties that we have about life. And the anxieties that we have speak about what's important to us. I don't know if you've ever thought much about what makes people tick before, but it's an interesting problem to think about. Each one of us most likely has our own aspirations in life. We have our own dreams and plans for what we want to do with our lives. You know, some people want fame and fortune. Others want security and love. Still others want all of the above or even other things besides. You've probably heard your parents or others say to you something like, study hard, get good grades, go to university and come out qualified for a good paying job. And that'll set you up for earning enough money so that you'll be able to start a family and to buy a house. You heard your parents say something like that to you before, or perhaps your teachers or friends. A lot of people seem to be living for that. There are benefits to studying well and getting a good job and making money. Obviously, there are benefits there. But really, there's more to life than just that. And one of the good things that we learn from the Bible and the book of Proverbs in particular is that life is much more than just living for money or the things that we can buy. And thinking about this, we've got to be realistic because not everyone gets to study well. Think about those who lie at the bottom of the scale academically. They're at the bottom rather than the top. What about those who struggle with disease or disability? Do they have nothing much to look forward to in life? We make the assumption that things will carry on and that we'll be able to advance in life, primarily thanks to our own efforts, but that doesn't always happen. All it takes is for something bad to happen, like a ferocious storm to hit, or for war to break out, or for the property market to collapse, and soon we'll realise that things aren't so straightforward. And what about those who are old and only a few years away from death? What do they have to look forward to in life? All those kinds of assumptions are a bit like a blind person enjoying a stroll through a park, not realizing that the hungry lion that escaped from the zoo the previous night is creeping up behind them, ready to pounce. The book of Proverbs reminds us that in the end, it doesn't matter what kind of job you have or how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter whether you're able-bodied or disabled. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old. In the end, what matters is whether or not you're right with God. And this is why the book of Proverbs and the wisdom literature in the Bible in general emphasize the importance of being right with God. And in particular, they emphasize the importance of personal righteousness. Because what matters in the end is what God thinks of us. We're told that God is pleased with the righteous, but not pleased with the wicked. And that encourages us to make sure that we're right with God through faith in Jesus and by being committed to his way of life. God wants to see in each one of his people the fruits of righteousness. He wants us to be people of compassion and kindness, people of integrity who value righteous living, just as God himself values righteousness. So we need to be careful that we don't fall for the lie that life is found in anything other than Jesus and the power of his Spirit. Because you see, we're constantly bombarded every day with all kinds of messages advertising, whatever it is that someone else wants to sell or to promote. But among all of those messages that we hear each day, we hardly ever hear about the most important message that exists. And that is the message of the gospel, the message about wisdom, the message that comes from God. That's the only message that has eternal significance. We need to be people who are listening to that message and living out our lives on the basis of the truth of that message. So if you really want to get ahead in life, if you really want to prosper eternally, then we need to be listening to the gospel. The gospel tells us that we need to accept Jesus as our Lord and to repent of our rebellion against God. The gospel is telling us that we need to turn to Jesus and to be committed to his way of life. And our passage today in Proverbs 11, verses 16 to 21, also encourages us to pursue Jesus and the righteousness of his kingdom. The passage today reminds us of the great benefits that righteousness brings for those who are living God's way. These proverbs speak to us about the benefits that flow to us if compassion, kindness, integrity, and righteousness are part of who we are. Well, first of all, let's look at the benefit of compassion. Notice how in verse 16, Solomon contrasts a woman who shows compassion, a woman who is gracious and kind. She's contrasted with a group of men who terrify others. Now, despite all of the talk over the last 50 years about women's rights and the equality of women, it's still a basic biological fact that men are generally physically stronger than women, and most violence is committed by men. Now just imagine placing a gentle woman together with a group of terrifying men. Most people would think in that situation, the woman would lose out. But friends, notice that that's not how God thinks. Notice that a woman of grace, a woman who shows compassion, will be honoured by God for her virtue. I think it's talking about a little bit more than respect, which is what the NIV is translating it as there. It's talking about honour, the honour that God gives such a person. Caring for others, showing compassion. The world might think that those are the qualities of a weak person. But that's not the case longer term, because that's not how God thinks about graciousness or compassion. Now think about it. What did Jesus say? What did he say about the meek? He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." According to Jesus there, there's great power in compassion and humility. It leads to honour before God when you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Sure, through the use of terror and violence, it may be possible for people to get rich in this life quicker than what they may have been able to do otherwise. But any such illegitimate gain won't last. And on the day of judgment, such people will find that threats and bravado and evil schemes count for absolutely nothing before the justice and power of God. Solomon is telling us here that compassion leads to honour. But what about kindness? A lot of people also think that kindness is a kind of weakness. Sure, they know that kindness works when you're being kind to those who show kindness back to you, but ordinarily speaking, kindness really gets you nowhere in the midst of this difficult world. But once again, notice that that's not how God looks at things. In verse 17 it says, "A kind man redeems his life, but a cruel man troubles his flesh." In God's scheme of things, kindness is much more powerful than cruelty. Through kindness, we experience life, whereas cruelty leads to punishment. By showing kindness to others, by seeking to love others and not to hurt them,
It's as if we save ourselves from eternal death. But if we revert to cruelty as the way forward in life, that will actually end up being counterproductive. Cruel people, they normally want to hurt other people, don't they? But according to what Solomon is saying here, in the end, those who are cruel to others will end up being cruel to themselves. They think they're hurting others, but in the end, they'll end up hurting themselves. So, don't be cruel. Instead, treat others with kindness, because that is the way of life. Solomon tells us here that kindness results in redemption. It has benefits for us longer term. Compassion, kindness, and also integrity. Let's have a look now at what Solomon has to say about the benefits of integrity. To see this, we can have a look in verse 20, where it says, "Those with a perverted heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those who walk in integrity are his delight." Here Solomon contrasts a person with a twisted and a perverted heart with the person who is morally healthy. Integrity in the Bible has to do with being whole, morally speaking. The person of integrity has nothing missing. They are rounded spiritually. And God is greatly pleased with such people. But he detests those who twist their hearts into obscene directions. This proverb forces each one of us to consider today our state before God. Are we people who are morally healthy? Are we seeking to understand God's way of life and to live it out on a daily basis? Are we following in the footsteps of Jesus when it comes to how we live and how we behave? Solomon tells us here that integrity leads to pleasing God and to all of the benefits that flow from that. As the angels proclaimed when Jesus was born, God's peace is upon those with whom he is pleased. And elsewhere, the Bible tells us that God's blessing and his mercy are upon those who please him. Compassion, kindness, integrity, and also righteousness. What does Solomon have to say about righteousness? Well, we can look in verses 18, 19, and 21 to see what he says about this idea of righteousness. And basically, he tells us that righteousness, living rightly before God, serving him and keeping covenant with him, results in reward. According to verse 18, "The wicked earns a deceitful wage, but he who sows righteousness earns a sure reward." Friends, it's relatively easy to get money by deceitful means. All you have to do is to start selling dodgy goods, or falsifying your tax records, or not paying what you owe to others. There are many different methods that crooks and criminals can make use of to make money in life. But ill-gotten gain is deceptive in more ways than one. Initially, there's the deception by which the money was made in the first place. But ultimately, there's the deception that such ill-gotten wealth is theirs to keep. Because on the day of judgment, it doesn't matter how many factors of 10 a person has in their bank balance or how many properties they have in their portfolio. If it's ill-gotten gain, they won't profit from it for long. All those dollars that they once placed their trust in will dissolve in front of their eyes, and they'll be left with a big fat zero to feast their eyes upon. Contrast such deceitful wages with true wages, the kind of wages that have eternal value. The wicked will actually end up being economic basket cases, but the person who sows righteousness ends up with a lasting harvest. And this idea of sowing righteousness is important here. What happens when a farmer goes out to sow in the field? He goes out sowing, planting the seeds, but he does so knowing that the effort put into planting the seeds in the ground over time, it will result in a good harvest. When a farmer goes out into his fields to sow seed, he takes a long-term perspective. He's not into getting rich quick by whatever means. No, sowing seeds in a field and watching the plants grow, which then have to be watered and looked after for a number of months before the time of the harvest comes along, that's a long-term project. But the farmer sows the seeds in the ground now in the hope of a bigger harvest of seeds at some point later on in the future. See the perspective that the farmer has when he goes out to sow in the fields? Likewise, God wants us, when we're sowing the seeds of righteousness, we do so in this life in the hope and expectation of a bountiful crop when it comes to the time of the universal harvest, when the produce of all people will be assessed by God on the day of judgment. Now, sometimes living for God in the here and now may not seem to be worth it. Sometimes it may seem as if our efforts to serve God in the power of His Spirit, the seeds of righteousness that we're seeking to sow, sometimes we don't see much benefit for ourselves in the here and now from all of that. But over time, God promises us that as we sow the seeds of righteousness in this life, then it will result in much fruit that God Himself will acknowledge on the day of judgment. The fruit of seed sown in righteousness in the here and now has great value before God, and it constitutes a real and lasting reward for our efforts as those things are acknowledged by God, in great contrast to the fleeting and deceptive value of ill-gotten gain. So Solomon is telling us here that righteousness leads to reward. It also leads to life. Have a look in verse 19. The person who upholds righteousness, Solomon says, experiences life. But the person who pursues evil experiences his death. Life or death? Which one do you prefer? Well, it's a question that has an obvious answer, really. But sadly, so many people get the methodology wrong. Everyone wants life, but they think that life is experienced as a result of having sufficient wealth or fame or love. And so they employ almost any kind of method, whatever it takes, to experience life in terms of how they've defined it. But friends, employing evil means like that to obtain those kind of things, in the end, what happens is people who seek to get life for themselves end up killing themselves. They end up destroying themselves. Solomon tells us here that pursuing evil only results in death, your own death. Why destroy yourself? It doesn't make sense. So instead of pursuing evil, we need to be upholding righteousness in how we live and act. Righteousness, the way that God defines it. Is that your goal in life? Is that why you're here on earth? To serve God in the way that He wants you to serve Him? Is that what you support and uphold? Is that what motivates you when you wake up in the morning and get ready for a new day in front of you? Do you have it at the forefront of your mind? I'm here to serve God and to live for Him. Friends, God wants us to be committed to His teaching. He wants us to be committed to His way of life. He wants us to uphold His values and to follow Him. So let's walk in His way, knowing that the destination lying at the end of that pathway is life in all of its fullness. Righteousness leads to life, but evil leads to death. And in addition, according to verse 21, we also learn that righteousness leads to salvation. Not only salvation for ourselves, but also salvation for our children. In the end, we know that the wicked will pay the price of their sins. They won't escape punishment. But Solomon says here, the seed or the descendants, the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. The original Hebrew of verse 21 starts off with an interesting phrase, which no one is really quite sure what it means. Now, literally, the first half of verse 21 reads, hand to hand, the wicked will not be clean. What does hand to hand mean right at that point? Is it an image of some kind of determination, like when people place their hands together when they're determined to do something? Or perhaps it can be understood as more of a judicial image, where hand to hand might mean from custody to custody, like when a court case is passed up to successively higher courts until a final determinative decision is made. To hand in Hebrew can mean like under the custody of someone. If so, then the idea would be that following the judicial process, we know that in the end, the wicked will not be acquitted of their sins. In the end, justice will be done. No matter what human courts of justice might say and what they might fail to do in terms of justice, in the end, everyone will have to stand in the court of Judge Jesus to give an account of their life's activity. And the Bible tells us that the wicked, who are still in their sins, will not be free of guilt before God on the day of judgment. Wickedness in this life leads to condemnation in the next. But what about righteousness? Well, we're told here that righteousness in this life leads to forgiveness and salvation on the day of judgment. And the way that Solomon puts it in verse 21 is quite interesting. He says that the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. What does that mean? How do we explain it? Somehow, it's as if my righteousness benefits my children. Well, I don't think he's saying that my righteousness will count for my children on the day of judgment. Everyone will stand on their own, and we know that ultimately we need the righteousness of Christ to be able to be part of the kingdom of God. But one of the benefits that the righteous are promised in this life is that as God has mercy on them, he also has mercy on their children and their children's children and so on. God's covenant with us incorporates any seed, any offspring that we might have. It's a bit like God's promise of blessing through Christ that is made known to us in the gospel also applies to our sperm or eggs if they ever end up producing offspring for us at some point of time in the future. And this is why God's mercy tends to run in families, because when his word impacts the parents, it often also impacts the children. And our church is a great testament to that kind of covenant reality. Godly parents tend to raise godly children. So for anyone who is a parent, either now or at some time in the future, be encouraged that the seeds of righteousness that you are sowing in the here and now will have great benefits for your children. Your efforts to live for God as the Spirit empowers you in the here and now will have a great influence over whether or not your descendants will experience salvation on the day of judgment. So let that be an encouragement for you to do what is right for your children, even if they're yet to come in the future, by living for God on a daily basis. Overall, what have we seen today? Well, friends, the benefits of living for God in this world are many. If it is true that compassion leads to honour, that kindness leads to life, and that integrity leads to pleasing God, and if it's true that righteousness results in a sure reward, that it leads to life and also to salvation for ourselves and our descendants, what does that mean for us? Well, I believe that it means that we need to stop mucking around, wasting time with our lives, following down the false pathways of worldly wisdom. They call it wisdom, but in the end it's just opinion. The opinion of people who don't see the bigger picture. the way of terror, the way of cruelty, the way of perversion and wickedness, that way is counterproductive and destructive. Instead, what God wants to see in each one of us is the fruit of His Spirit. Compassion, kindness, integrity, and righteousness. And today, we've been reminded that the benefits of such virtues are great indeed.